This is the UCLA Mindful Monday Meditation. Each week, Marvin G. Belzer, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, leads a 30-minute guided session offering a variety of themes and practices to cultivate self-awareness, emotion regulation, and increased well-being. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Monday meditation. It's good to be with you. If you're new to meditation, I hope to give clear guidance. I feel that the basics are not conceptually complex, that they can be understood and practiced. It takes some effort, but it's not superhuman effort. So it's something we can do. We'll begin by using our ability to focus our attention. And we'll do it in a somewhat unusual way because we'll focus on elements of experience that quite rightly are ignored because we don't need to be paying attention to them. And so unless there's some sudden sound that raises alarm, you're not generally tracking the ambient sounds. You're listening to my voice, perhaps. But the point is that when we use sounds in our meditation, it's primarily because they're relatively neutral and accessible. So we'll begin that way. Similarly, with body sensations, typically we can feel various sensations, vibration, pressure, softness, and so forth. And these also tend to be pretty good for our purposes. Bringing attention to these elements of experience can seem odd, for sure. The reason we put effort into this and then try to do it for a period of time is it actually works to cultivate conditions for more peace, clarity, stability, and so forth, good qualities of mind. And so this is kind of the heart of how we begin. Most forms, not all, but most forms of meditation begin something like this. With mindfulness practice, we also include what to do when we notice the attention has drifted, and it certainly will. And so no matter how hard we try, sometimes because we're trying harder than we need to, the mind will get lost. We'll find that we've been daydreaming or planning or worrying and so forth. And so the invitation with mindfulness practice is to regard whatever is happening as available for the meditation. We don't have to rush to judge or evaluate anything, even when our attention is drawn to things we would rather not be thinking about or emotions we would prefer not to have. Nonetheless, there is that invitation just to notice. Even when our aspiration is to be less anxious and so forth, when what we're noticing is anxiety, as far as the meditation job goes, it's just a matter of noticing what it is, what is real. And often it can be interesting, right? Just to pay attention. So we don't have to act on the anxiety. We also don't have to try to outsmart it in some way. It's just noticing what it is. And often what we will find is that there is a component of an emotion like anxiety, which is to be felt in our bodies, actual sensations. These are very often overlooked because we're focused on the thoughts, what we're anxious about. And so there can be a lot of value in just noticing what it feels like, not trying to fix or change anything, and then bringing the attention back to the more neutral sensations of the breath or sounds and so forth. So that's an overview. If I made it sound complicated, then I didn't do my job very well. It's actually relatively simple. It's not necessarily easy, of course, but it is something that we can do. So let's go ahead. So eyes can be open or closed. Most of us will find it easier with eyes closed, but either way is fine. Yeah, I might take a few deeper breaths as we begin, slightly deeper in breath and out breath. Maybe even a little sigh with that out breath. Then letting the breath be normal. We'll come back to the breath, the normal breath, in a minute. But for now, just notice the sounds you can hear. And notice that this is relatively easy. We don't have to try to hear everything. We don't have to make a list. We aren't trying to get something out of the sensations of sounds. It's just noticing some of the sounds happening moment after moment. So the mind is open, spacious. Sounds can come from anywhere. This is actually pretty easy to do typically. And so it takes a little bit of effort and patience to keep the attention with this part of our experience, but that's okay. So, opening our minds to sounds, to this part of our experience as the primary focus is a fine way to meditate. It's also good to practice with our bodies, with sensations in our bodies. So, when you wish, let your attention settle into your body, but kind of the same spirit with which we notice sounds, just to begin, just kind of a general noticing of your body, head, shoulders, arms, hands. Torso, legs, feet. So we're shifting the focus from sounds to these visceral, palpable sensations, what we can feel in our bodies, vibration, pressure, softness, and so forth. Again, just noticing is the name of the game. You don't have to keep track or analyze, just noticing something. As we feel into our bodies, it can be natural to notice that there are sensations connected with the normal breath. It's how we would know when we are breathing, when the in-breath begins, for instance. With the in-breath, there tends to be some sensations, slight rising, tensing in the abdomen and the chest, falling, softening, dissolving with the out-breath. It's also tend to be some sensations at the opening of the nose as air comes in, as air leaves. For obvious reasons, we're not tracking this in our normal activities because we have other things to think about, that we don't need to think about our breath in order to breathe as humans. So it can be unusual, but it is doable. And again, the reason we would do this is focusing attention on sensations like these, really mundane in a way, the mind naturally becomes calmer and more clear. We don't have to make that happen, but we make the effort to be alert, to know, for instance, when the in-breath is beginning based on sensations in the abdomen, the chest, or at the nose. Keeping the attention there, knowing when the out-breath begins, and so forth. If for any reason the breath doesn't feel quite right, that can happen. We can shift attention somewhere else in our bodies, the vibration in our hands or feet, or come back to sounds. And then keeping in mind that it does take effort, but it's mostly patience. It's not a matter of doing something perfectly. But it can help to summon that patience and willingness to try with the understanding that no matter how hard we try, There'll be times when we realize the attention has drifted and our attention has been pulled into usually thoughts, right? Thoughts of some form or other. This is not a failure, really. It's the nature of our minds to turn attention to what needs to be paid attention to. And when we're asking ourselves to focus on something like the feelings of the breath, that don't need to be paid attention to, quite naturally, there's that opportunity for a thought to occur to us. It draws our attention. One thought leads to another, and we're planning the afternoon or evening, or a random memory might have popped into mind, and that pulls our attention. So it's perfectly normal, whatever it is. You could even be like a perfectly rational thought, like, why doesn't this guy stop talking so much so I can meditate? Right. So we kind of enjoy our minds, even, and we can enjoy even when it's difficult. It's weird. Once we get used to this, it's just like that activity of noticing thoughts. Even when we would rather not be worrying about something, it's just like there's can be a kind of a satisfaction in just being, oh, these are thoughts. This is thinking. Right. These are thoughts. I don't have to believe it. And right now, I have permission not to worry because I'm doing something else. Just recognize thinking, recognize the emotion, come back to the breath or wherever you were trying to focus. So I will be silent for a bit. We can practice together. So we'll take a few more minutes. Just a reminder that, we're not trying to control our experience. Much easier than that would be. Indeed, it's a permission not to control anything right now. Just notice. Make a little effort. Yeah. Where's my breath? What are some sensations that make sense to direct attention to in this context? Especially when we notice we're sort of wrapped up in some thoughts or a puzzle or a problem, just recognizing, oh, this is my mind at work. And for the time being, I'm letting it be simpler. Where's my breath? So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your practice. It's good to meditate with you. Analyzing, thinking is not so much a part of the core of mindfulness practice, but it can be useful to use our intelligence and our common sense and even consider a question, did it work? Right. I don't encourage spending a lot of time in the middle of the meditation asking, is it working? Is it working? That isn't going to help. But there can be a point to just like, well, whatever, for whatever my hopes or aspirations were in even showing up for this, did it work? Did it make sense? And I do teach with a lot of confidence. And I do regularly ask myself, where the hell do I get this confidence? And it is kind of might be useful for you to know that, it was a process of developing confidence that what I could do would be relevant to other people. Certainly when I started to meditate seriously in the 80s as a philosophy graduate student and then found it was interesting and dove in and did some long retreats and so forth. I was very clear. I didn't think about it, but it didn't occur to me that this would be relevant to other people or very many other people. And partly because for me, it felt a little bit like an extreme sport, just doing intensive silent retreats and so forth. And it was well before the days in which we're living now, where mindfulness has become mainstream in many ways, and there's good science supporting the benefits for mental and physical health and so forth. But the confidence I got was not through much so much through the science as simply kind of finding undergrad students who were curious when I was a philosophy professor, okay, we're doing a Friday night meditation. The only rule was don't come every time. And that was kind of like to make it permissible to come, even if you weren't there for 6 months. So, and then doing an undergrad course beginning in 98 as a philosophy class for credit, but teaching what I just taught as the core of the course. And, over time, developing, okay, people, at least some people, find this interesting and helpful. And so the invitation for you would be, okay, both did it make sense at least in some points, right? And for some of you who are new, this it might have been way too long in a way, and so there were it kind of made sense a little bit, and then and so that would be understandable. We don't need to do it for that amount of time to get benefits, but the idea is it's a very personal activity, and it is something that we do explore for ourselves. And it's certainly important to know that there are other forms of meditation, or there are other teachers teaching basically the same principles who might be better for you, right? So a good, my colleague Diana Winston, with whom I've taught and worked for almost 30 years, we certainly are teaching the same basic principles, but we do teach in different ways. We approach it in different ways. So her personality and so forth might be more suitable for you. And so you can, if you hated every single second and you're hating it now even more, that's a sign. I may not be communicating well with you. And when I made that joke in the, like maybe would this guy please shut up? You're like, yes, would he please? But then all you could think about the rest of the time was, how did I get suckered? So anyway, the point is, we're not. We're doing something personal, and even if you hated everything about how I approached it and this whole situation, once you actually did it, it's like, oh wow, okay, thank you. I get it. I can pay attention to my own breath and take some time, and it actually makes a difference. So this is it's a very interesting area, and there are many forms of meditation, but the core of mindfulness combines this simple connection with something like the breath as a way to develop concentration. It combines that with this sort of radical permission just to be real, where we're not trying to prove something, we're not trying to impress someone, we're just noticing what our life is like in those moments without trying to micromanage it. And both aspects are quite important and can be practiced. Right, can be practiced. And so the invitation for you would be, if any aspect of it makes sense to kind of you may find, for instance, that just staying with the breath is kind of what you're drawn to do. And yeah, you notice your mind has wandered, but you just come right back. That can be really skillful. So kind of decline that invitation to explore what it feels like to be anxious or something like that. On the other hand, even if you had trouble finding the breath or finding anywhere that was like a, kind of felt like a suitable home base, nonetheless, just noticing what anxiety feels like is powerful. It's amazing. And so we can get kind of combine these elements and so forth. So, yeah, thank you for your attention. Just a follow-up from last week, I mentioned a Thai woman, I made a mistake. She actually was not a nun. She was a lay person. And her name is, I'll put it in the chat. And she's the one who has written about enlightenment or, the nibbanic experience, the core of like what we really might aspire to in terms of untangled knowing. Sorry, unentangled knowing. And Ajahn Thanissaro has translated her work. So thank you all. Good to see you. See you next time. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Monday Meditation. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.